Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I had a little bit of a wrestling match last night. Kind of looked like my eyes are drooping this morning. Had that glorious task of having three of our granddaughters spend the night with us last night. And funny thing happens when grandkids come over to spend the night, they don't like to sleep. I don't know if you noticed that or not. They think they get a free-for-all. I feel bad for Gigi. She got up this morning, took a deep breath. As those little, I call them little monkeys, as they're starting to roll around. And, you know, I don't want this to sound mean, and I hope it doesn't sound mean. There's nothing in your that will change your life more than a grandchild. Nothing that will change. Now, listen, children change you. Certainly, when you see that child, you look in that little baby's eyes for the first time. I remember when Zach was born. I remember when all of our children were born. Idea of looking into that little baby's eyes, think, God, I did that. I created that. It's pretty overwhelming, but you're so busy. You're so busy living your own life and earning a living and all the stuff that goes on. In fact, most of us were probably so daggone immature that baby became kind of a nuisance to us. You know, somebody had to take care of it all the time. We wanted to go out and have fun, play softball and drink beer, and got this little baby here. But there's something different about a grandparent. I don't know. You know, but the Bible says it's the crown of an old man. And I fight it all the time. You got to take time. You just got to pull back from your duties and just take a little bit of time and look around at the miraculous hand of God. See those little grandbabies running around and realize that, man, you know, we talk a lot about DNA and RNA and all that stuff in here, that those little babies are just a creation of something that we could never, ever, ever, ever. How could anybody ever believe in evolution? How could anybody ever believe that? It's one of the most foolish things that you could ever come up with, you know? And that little Mia runs by, little Macy, little Emmy, and I look in there and I'm in there and Michelle's in there and my dad's in there and my mom's in there and Michelle's mom and dad are in there. It's just this miraculous thing of life and how little time we take to just experience those moments. And you know, our granddaughter Reese is 10 years, she'll be 20. She won't want anything to do with me. 10 years, I'll be 78. We'll even be here to do anything with her, right? And time is just so fleeting. And just tell all of us, just stop and smell the roses, as they say. Take time to enjoy those things that are really, real important. And I reflect when I, this sounds strange to people, but it is what it is here in the Dobenmeyer household. Sometimes our grandkids crawl in bed with us. Now, I can't even imagine, I don't know about you, the thought of getting in bed with my grandpa, either one on either side, was like, are you kidding me? What? Not that I didn't trust my grandpa, but just grandpa was just kind of somebody that was so far off and far away, you know? He didn't, golly. We got grandkids in bed with us all the time, and a cat, and it's kind of relationship. I believe, listen, real quickly. I believe as a young child, you want to teach a young child, their image of Almighty God is going to come a lot of times in their image of their father and their grandfather. I think there's a great, great connection there that sometimes that we miss. And I would say to grandpas in particular, what kind of image are you leaving to your grandchildren? When they think of grandpa, and they think of God, or this older, manly figure, what are they thinking of? I think we just all need to take that really, really seriously. You know, they hit 10, 11 years old, man. So pretty much out of our hands. Hey, Sherry Tenpenny is going to join us tomorrow. Got confirmation of that yesterday. Spread the word to everybody that you know that she's going to be with us, friends. She's going to give us an hour. I told my wife, I'm going to put a gag in my mouth, and I'm going to let you guys ask questions. And she'll be here to answer every question I don't know if she'll answer every question, but she's going to try to answer every question about what's going on. And the RNA and the DNA, and I got in here this morning, in the pre-show, Mark Trump's talking about now a new kind of vaccine that's coming, new tattoo on her. I mean, technology is so... Folks, I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know how you go to church every Sunday. I did it. I'm raising my hand. I'm raising both hands. I don't know how you can go to church your whole life and not at least have some type of discussion of angel technology. Whether you believe in the fallen angels, the Nephilim, the demonic realm. How many of you really, if you go back and look over your religious upbringing, I can see all of you, 94 of you in here today. Raise your hand if you got extensive training in your church on the demonic realm. Raise your hand. That's what I thought. And here we are. We're now the senior saints. I hate to tell you this. I'm just now learning about some of this stuff. Scripture tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We know Ephesians, weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds. We understand Genesis, that there's a eternal struggle between the seed of the serpent and seed of the woman. Yet we have no understanding of it at all. No understanding. Do we know that is hell and Hades the same place? Gehenna, is that the same place? Do we have any understanding at all of all this? Or when I shared a couple weeks ago from Doc Marquis, the seven principalities of hell. Do we understand? Do we understand how the hierarchy of the angels are? Aren't the good angels? Do we understand the hierarchy of the bad angels? Do we understand anything at all? See, I can tell you everything you need to know about a football game. I can watch football. I can analyze what the offense is doing, what the defense is doing, the adjustments that the linebackers are making, and how the safeties are stepping up and the corners are wide. I can explain all that stuff to you because I understand it. And the whole idea of going to a football game is to watch the adjustments the coaches make. Well, we're in this spiritual war, and we have no scouting report on the other team. We have no scouting report. Somebody say amen. You don't have to say amen, but I just know that I'm hammering it. And the reason that we're in the mess that we're in today is because nobody has trained us. We have no under – and, you know, I sometimes feel so foolish.
Amen.
I feel so foolish that I'm here, the guy trying to train you. I'm just learning it myself. I'm just learning it, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
Amen, Coach. Amen. Amen.
And all, our only response to it is what? Well, pray for a rapture. That's not, guys, I'm sorry. Jesus didn't come to rapture us out of here. He came, what? To expand the kingdom of God. That's why he came. That's why he came, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. We don't even know what the works of the devil are. Oh, yeah, we do. We say, well, it's pornography and fornication. I mean, we get that. But we don't get any understanding of why that happens and why some people get trapped into addictions that can't get out of them, and why people are hooked on pornography and can't get away from it. And we don't understand the forces of darkness and how the forces of darkness work. And we have no idea. We put on the full armor of God that we might be able to smite all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We don't even know what are fiery darts. What are they? What do you mean by fiery darts? And if there are fiery darts of the wicked one coming back to us, are we supposed to be shooting fiery darts back? Well, it's... If we could ever get a grasp of the supernatural, listen to me, Christianity would explode across the globe. If we could ever get a grasp of it. And why do you think those movies, Star Wars and all those things, why do you think they're so fascinating? Because people are innately interested in the supernatural. And then see, I don't want to become like Sid Roth. It's supernatural, and all he talks about is, you know, I don't want to. But I'm just talking about the everyday aspect of demonic power and influence and strongholds that are coming across our paths. We don't know anything about them.
Amen.
Stephanie, who came out of that mess, she just texted me. She said, "I got more training on the dark side than in any Christian church. Somebody give me a thumbs up on that one.
Amen on that.
Huh? The dark side. We're being influenced all the time on the dark side, and we get no awe from the inside. Listen. I'm going to Montana tomorrow, Friday, whenever it is. Michelle and I gonna, and Chad, we're doing a boot camp out there. I hate traveling. I hate it. We're going to. I'm going to share. So I got an email yesterday, blew me away, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind if I shared it with you, Spencer. It says, let me find it here. I just sent it to you. Where is it? It says, not discerning the body of Christ. I got this email yesterday. It blew me away. Spencer, if you can, because remember yesterday we were talking about not discerning the body of Christ. And I got to tell you, I was raised Catholic. Now, for those of you who don't know, Catholicism teaches a process called transubstantiation. Folks, I wasn't a Catholic anymore when I was raised Catholic. And I didn't know this. I don't know how I missed it in catechism. They believe that the wafer becomes the actual body of Christ. That's what Catholics teach. That's called transubstantiation. And they base that on the fact that as often as you do this in memory of me. Jesus said, this is my body given up for you. This is my blood. And so they believe that when the priest gets up there and does whatever the priest does, that becomes the actual body of Christ. In my opinion, now that I'm a little bit older and wiser, it's a re-crucifixion of Christ every Mass. That's what it's done. And at the re-crucifixion of Christ at that Mass, you take some of his body, you take some of his blood. Although I never also understood in the Catholic Church why we didn't get to drink the wine. We took the wafer, but we didn't drink the wine. But anyway, doesn't matter. And I was always told that when you, if you take the bread unworthily, if you take communion unworthily, we talked about that yesterday. If you take it, not discerning the body. See, I was taught not discerning the body meant that wafer. Not discerning the body had to do with that wafer because that was the real body of Jesus. Let me back up a minute. See, I think communion is anytime you come together and eat, you do it in memory of the Lord. That's what I've changed my whole thought on that whole communion thing. That's neither for me nor you. I don't write that down as doctrine, okay? But as often as I get together, if I get together with Randy and Kay, and I get together with Mike and Polly, and I get together with people, I do it in remembrance of the Lord. You guys with me? This whole idea that you can only do it on Sunday when you go to church, come on. Come on. Come on, wake up. So yesterday I get this email, and I thought it was worthy enough that I would share it this morning because we talked yesterday about not discerning the body. Just stop a minute. Before you read this, not discerning the body. What does that mean? His body? My body? What? Not discerning the body? That's why many are sick, the scripture said, right? Some of you are sick because you don't discern the body. What does that possibly mean? So I got this yesterday. It says, when watching today's show, I received a revelation from our Lord that is life-changing for me, and I want to share it with the body. By the way, I believe she got the revelation from the Lord because what we did yesterday, as we do every day, is function as a body. Not just me sitting here telling you all what to believe, but Mark had something to say, and Dale had something to say, and Mike had something to say, and Larry had something to say, and Craig had something to say. And as we say that, we discern it. We get it. Oh, I see. Now I get it. Not just Pastor Jack standing up there and hammering me for 40 minutes and going away and telling my wife, boy, that was a good sermon. Yeah, it was. It was a good sermon. It says, you were talking about healing and quoted scriptures concerning it. Lord Jesus reminded you of the scripture about being sickness in the body because we do not rightly discern the body of Christ. Time out a minute. Somebody help me out here. Who or what's the body of Christ? What is that, friends?
We are.
We are. Each piece jointly fitted together. Isn't that what it says? It's not that little wafer. It's the body of Christ. I don't want to get into this, but you can't be a body and a bride. I don't want to get into it. I believe that's another lie they've told us. You can't be the body and the bride. Can't be both. It's a, where am I? You were talking about healing and quoted scriptures concerning it. The Lord Jesus reminded you of the scripture about being sickness in the body because we do not rightly discern the body of Christ. I've been concerned about this scripture every time I took communion. Me too, Sandy. When you spoke the scripture, the Holy Spirit opened this up to me. Now, folks, this is what I call, my brain just went dead on me, revelation, folks. This is a revelation. Now, listen, you don't have to agree with it. But to her, it was a perspective she had never seen before. And this only comes through, by the way, multitude of many counselors, great wisdom. Here's what she said. The scripture says Christ gives to his body gifts severally as he will. In other words, y'all got a gift. We don't all have the same one. He also tells us the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. In other words, folks, listen to me, serious stuff. Whatever that gift you have, the Lord isn't taking it back. He gave you. Some of you, he gave more than one gift. But the Bible tells us, if we go to the parable of the talents, one guy had one talent, one had two talents, one had five talents. And Jesus, the servant, the master, was most harsh on the guy that didn't even use the one he had. The guy that was using the five talents maybe didn't use them all properly and correctly, but the Lord chastised the guy that had one and didn't even use it. How many of us have been taught to use our gifts? See, that's the, again, to me, that's the failure of the church. It's the failure of the church. I see the gifts in all you guys. I'm not trying to puff you up. Some of you got some of the most unbelievable gifts, you don't even know you have them. Because nobody's ever told you, because you couldn't go up and stand on the platform. You didn't get to go sing in the choir. And you didn't get, you know, somebody say amen. They won't even let you teach Sunday school. Amen. Hey, folks, you listen to this show. You listen to this show right now. You think Mark Trump doesn't have some gifts? Are you crazy? Do you think those gifts are welcome in the church? No. No, they're not welcome in the church. You think Reggie's gifts are welcome in the church? No. Well, where'd Reggie get that gift? Well, she got it from the Lord. And Reggie's going to be held responsible for what she does with that gift. Well, what if she doesn't have any place to use that gift? Not discerning the body. I'm not trying to overpound this, but this is critical for us to understand. Whereas also he says everyone does not have the same gifts. When we read what the gifts given are, healing is simply one of the gifts. So doesn't it make sense that we should be looking within the body for any particular gift that we are in need of? Why are we running to doctors and pharmakia? Is there really, truly inside the functioning church a gift of healing? Wow. That's scary. Are we taught that? You go to your pastor and you're sick, and what's the pastor say? Go see the doctor and take some drugs, right? I'm not blaming your pastor. I'd be the same thing. Better go see the doctor, right?
Amen, coach.
I know. Sandy's all over it here. So it doesn't make sense that we should be looking for within the. So doesn't it make sense that we should be looking within the body for any particular gift that we are in need of? If we do not discern that within the body of Christ, that there are those with gifts of healing and do not go to that person for healing, then we're not going to get a healing. Somebody's been given that gift. I've got to tell you this. It's not always the pastor having all those gifts. I'm sorry. And that's the way the system's set up, right? Your pastor prophesies, your pastor heals, your pastor. I love pastors. I've told you this many times when I was coaching football, and I had an issue on the offensive line. The players came to me. I said, go talk to your line coach. Go see Coach Norm. He's the coach. That's his gift. Go talk to him. Don't come to me. And I think about it. Think about your church, the church that you grew up in, the church we've been raised in. Does your pastor recommend you to different people for different gifts? No, no, for the most part, if it doesn't flow through the pastor, the gift doesn't get exercised. Friends, I'm not making fun of pastors. I'm making fun of the system that we're in. We're trapped in a system, a religious system. Jesus chastised the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He chastised them because he said, you teach his commandments, the doctrines of men, making the word of God of none effect. He says, you're just doing religion. Religion. And for this purpose, I came in the world. I'm going to destroy religion. Oh, do it. Thank you, Lord. Religion is of the devil. Religion is rules and regulations. It's of the devil. Now, not biblical guidelines, not that kind. That's not what I'm talking about. But, oh, my goodness. Anyway, if we do not discern that within the body of Christ, that there are those with a gift of healing and do not go to that for healing, we're not going to get healed. Christ calls for unity within the body. He calls us to love one another. Put you on the spot right now. How many of you actually love those within the body? How many of you can say when you went to your local church, if you're still gone, some of you aren't gone, you actually loved the people. You didn't even know them. You didn't even know them. He says to esteem others better than ourselves. To appreciate Joe Silver's gift more than mine. To appreciate Larry's gift more than mine. And Larry should appreciate my gift more than his, to esteem others. This is, folks, this comes back to discerning the body, doesn't it? Discerning the body. You cannot say to the hand, I have no, you can't go to somebody with the gift of fixing tractors and ask them to heal you. That's not their gift. Now, that doesn't mean they can't lay hands on you and heal you. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But they're gifted in a particular way. And we've designed the Christian religious system that only those ordained and standing in the pulpit have these gifts. And then I would have been a lousy football coach if I didn't teach you guys how to block. Every one of them. Every one of them how to tackle. You cannot say to the mouth, I have no need of you, and then expect to be fed. The church has been sick and dying because they do not rightly discern the body. We have thought that one person could supply all their needs as a believer. What a pressure that puts on a pastor, huh?
Hey, coach.
Hang on a minute. We must have the whole body to be fully functioning and healthy. I have personally been guilty of this because of past experience with the established church. I've avoided others completely. Refused to exercise your gift because nobody said it was okay to do that. May God forgive me. Knowing this young man, you are a great, oh, talking about me, a great blah, 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 blah. We have no right to withhold. We cannot function without the other parts of the body of Christ, and we have no right to withhold the gift or gifts Jesus has given us from the rest of his body. You understand that, friends? You're going to stand before the Lord and not and give an account for that one gift that he gave you, and you're not going to be able to say, well, my pastor didn't give me permission to do it. Come on in, whoever that was. Was that Neil? I don't know.
Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
Okay, Coach, as I had shared with you before, I go into houses that are welcoming me in because I'm an exterminator. So I use that, you know, if they welcome in your house, heal their sick. And so I've healed people of cancer, but the Lord says, go to this person that was in church. And the husband says, if you invite me in your house, I'll heal your wife. And he rejected me. He called the church. The church rejected me, saying, well, who are you? You know, and the lady died. Now, I know the Lord told me, and I had the experience, but I wasn't recognized. And that's when my eyes opened to the scripture that people are sick and unto death because they don't recognize the body. Now, I don't have a gift of healing. I have the gift of the Holy Ghost, which means whatever I need, I have. So sometimes I heal. Sometimes I cast something out. You know, whatever comes my way, if I'm walking in the ways of the path of the Lord has put it before me, I have whatever I need. And as far as the fiery darts, as you are mentioning, cancer can be a fiery dart. Deafness can be a fiery dart. That's what it's talking about, the fiery darts.
Amen. Amen. So listen, because I just heard the Holy Spirit. As Tony, as you were talking, the Holy Spirit said this to me. Are you guys listening to me closely? Are you listening to me? Some of you have got to stop trying to operate with a spirit of rejection.
Amen.
The Bible says that your gift will make way for you.
Amen.
And I can't tell you the number of times I'm talking about me. Talking about me now. That I'm sitting and I'm listening to somebody else speak into something, whatever. And I think, Lord, God, give me 10 minutes, Lord. Just give me 10 minutes. And it'd be easy for me to walk out of there with a spirit of rejection that they didn't want to hear what I had to say. Folks, that is one of the easiest things to pick up is that spirit of rejection. Huh? The Lord will make way for you. The Bible says you're going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them and the Gentiles. And don't even think what you're going to say, because it's going to be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak. Listen to me. I don't want to speak it until the Lord tells me to speak it. I don't want to speak it until the Lord opens the door for me to do it. I don't want to have, a premature birth. The Bible talks about in due season. I trust this. I've been rejected a lot, okay? I'm not whining, sucking on my thumb. No, I'm not talking. I've walked through a lot of rejection. And I've come to realize rejection, you just take it with a grain of salt. Now, they didn't want to hear it. Now, go on, move to the next one. Rather than getting all mad and bitter because they didn't listen to me. I had this wonderful word for them. They didn't want to hear it. Well, I'm going to tell you this. When it's time for that word to be heard, the Lord will make sure that word's heard. He'll open a door that no man can shut. It's what the scripture says. And a lot of us operate out of rejection. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat a worm. With its head on, with its tail on. Icky, gooey worm. Then I'll catch a caterpillar. Yeah, I'll go and say that poem. I'll forget that thing. So we got to be careful, the spirit that we're operating out of. We are a body. We're a body. Hate to say this. No, I don't hate to say it. Some of you are afraid to exercise your gift because of a spirit of rejection. Because people will say, well, who are you? Well, we got this guy. I got this guy. This guy's coming in. He's coming all the way in from Detroit. Well, what the hell does he know? I don't know. But boy, they told me, well, okay. Lord made way for his gift, I guess. Quit operating out of rejection. Let's run down. I got a few with your hands. I got stuff to talk about. But this is critical. Let's go to Luann quickly, then Larry. Hey, folks, listen, I got thinking about this yesterday. Don't give dissertations, okay? Make a point, and then let's move on. Go ahead, Luann.
Hi, I'm here. That is really, really important with that spirit of rejection. Because when I was being raised up in the church, when I finally got to church, you know, I had these gifts, and they kept asking me, do you know what you got? Well, I didn't know at the time. Okay. Why don't you tell me? And that way, they have a way I'll know. Well, they would never tell me.
Because they didn't know.
We would never go out. We would never exercise what it is that I had.
So I can promise you this, Luann. I'll promise you this. Your gift has to do with what you enjoy doing. Your gift Take has that. To do with what you enjoy doing. It's connected to that.
The children.
Right? Children. Taking care of children.
I
whatever.
Love children. I love the children. I love to teach the children.
Amen. Larry, come on in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the rejection thing, Jesus knew it was going to happen. He told his disciples, you go into a town and you find a place where you, a good place where you think you need to be staying. And if that place doesn't listen to you, doesn't pay attention to what you're having to say, you leave there and shake the dust off of your feet. Don't take that rejection with you. Shake the dust off your feet and go on.
Larry, he was the most prime rejection man. He got more rejection than anybody. James Bruno, right. come on in, James.
Oh, hang on, I got one more point, please. You know what a bingo moment you gave me, because you know if you've done any of the communion services that I've done, you know that my big thing is that the Bible says that you're having problems because you're not discerning the body. You're not discerning the body. Boy, you have just added a whole dimension to the importance of discerning the body to the importance of the communion ceremony.
Amen. Well, that's from Sandra. That's not from me. God bless you. Come on in, James.
Linda. Hey, good morning. I want to make a distinction, Coach, because there spiritual gifts are given to believers, but there are certain people that are in the body of Christ that will reject learning other duties in the church, and evangelism being one of them. And in Ephesians 4, it talks about the perfecting of the saints, and people have gifts, and they're to use those gifts to teach others in the body to use some of those same gifts.
Perfection of the saints for what, James? For the work of the ministry, right?
Right.
Perfecting of the saints for the works of the ministry, right? We're not very good at that, are we? We're not very good at that. And again, I believe it comes back to a lot of times the insecurity of those in authority. They don't recognize nor appreciate the gift. In fact, it becomes a hindrance to them. They see you come and they go the other direction. Rather than saying, man, are you ever good at that? We got to make a way for that gift to be exercised. Instead, they'll say, hey, you want to be an usher? Want to be an usher? Come on in, Naomi.
So you are so spot on with the fact that God will make a way when he wants it to be done. Several years ago, I was told that I had an attitude. This was by a church leader. I had an attitude of my way or no way. And if I didn't get it corrected, I was going nowhere. And within 48 hours, God just started broadening the platform and even writing coach / publisher for my autobiography. And it just continues to grow. And, you know, that person's wife worked in a hospital. She was the head of the emergency room department. He was intimidated. But, yeah, God made a way. When God wants it done, God makes a way.
Quit looking for the approval of men. Mark Trump, come on in. Then Randy.
Yeah, I want to talk about rejection briefly. Look at Jesus and what Larry said. Jesus was rejected by who?
Everybody.
By the world. by the world, right? Yeah, so yes. Except for a few. Look at Paul, our other example. If you went back in time before Paul's death, what was his life like? Think about it. He built churches. The churches fell. His life's work, many of the churches were worshiping idols and sacrificing children. And he died. They beheaded him in the middle of that. And how did he overcome rejection? As a Christian, these are our examples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're not taught Paul's life the way it really was. He was beheaded. He was pretty much alone. Where was Coach Dave to go help Paul out of jail, guys?
Mm.
You know, who went to help Paul? Who went to help the disciples? So we got something going here. I just want to point out that, yes, rejection's a part of it, but we need to be happy that we're being rejected by the world.
Go to 2 Timothy 4. I think it's 2 Timothy. Yes, Mark, I'm with you, man. I think it's 2 Timothy 4, although I could be wrong. I shared this before, right? I might. Is that 2 Timothy? Lord, I could have the wrong thing. Yeah, that's it. Look, so here's this is what Mark's talking about, right? Keep on. This is Paul at the end. He tells you, preach the word, be instant in season out, going down farther, going down farther. He says they're not going to, they don't want to hear it. They're not, you're not ready to be, Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. And then he says this, look at this now, folks. This was the greatest evangelist the world ever knew. Folks, listen, Christianity, amen, Christianity's counterculture. Christianity, well, why do they hate Tim Tebow so much? Can anybody explain to me the vitriol? There are people out there who are pulling for Kaepernick to be able to be on a team and hoping Tebow. Why do they hate Tebow? Because he is swimming upstream against the culture. The culture hates Tim Tebow. Exactly. Christianity was never designed to blend in and be welcome and be it's not inclusive. So what does he say? Look what he says. Henceforth is laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And he says, do your diligence. Please come to me. Will somebody come and visit me? Why? Demas, he forsook me. His buddy left him. He loved this present world, and he's in Thessalonica. And Crescens, he went off to Galatia. Titus, he's in Dalmatia. Only Luke stayed here with me. Only Luke. All my right-hand men are gone. Here I sit.
Rejection. I did
all this stuff for the world. I did all this stuff for the gospel. And I'm sitting in this freaking prison, and all I got's Luke. Luke. Luke was a doctor and probably hard to get along with. He says, take Mark, you, Trump, and bring him with you, will you please? For he is profitable to me. He says, I need encouragement. Would you send Mark to me, will you? Mark has a way of encouraging me. He said, I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. And hey, by the way, that cloak that I left at Troas, you know, the one I left with Carpus, bring that with me. Bring that with you, will you? I'm cold. Sit here every night and freeze. I was the world's greatest evangelist. They all deserted me and I'm sitting in there freezing. Just bring my coat with you when you come. Bring the books, especially the books. He said, and Anders, Alexander the coppersmith, boy, did he screw me over. Go get him, Lord. All right. Of whom thou? Now that, he said, you watch out for that old Alexander too. And then look at this. And my first answer, no man stood with me. Wow. All men forsook me. And I pray that God doesn't hold it against him. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. And he strengthened me. That by my preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. The Lord shall deliver me from every work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever. And Christianity, dear friends, is counter-culture. Amen. Counter-culture. Counter-friendship evangelism is of the devil. We are counter-culture. Go, Randy.
Coach, you know why we see a lot of gifts come out of people? Because your platform is set up scriptural. Most churches, their platform is set up to fail. They have one guy or woman or a pastor, whoever it is, and they're going to judge these people that have gifts. And if they like them, they might give them a place and maybe a moment. If they don't, well, they're out of luck. Coach, you have to be relational. I mean, I came in here, Coach, and I sit here and listened, and I watched how things worked. And finally, I got up enough nerve one day to say, hey, Coach, can I say something? And I just waited, Coach. And you know, I see people come in here with gifts, and they have great gifts. And they wait, and they learn to just figure out how to serve and how to, you know, to be submissive. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, I see like Craig Mickle, man. The man has a great gift on him, and he just – he sits and he waits and he waits and he prefers others and he knows how to use his gift and when to use it. A lot of us are still learning that, Coach. We don't know when to chime in, and sometimes we chime in when we shouldn't. we have to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gives us that. You know, that's how we work it.
Yep. Because Randy,
thank you,
like,
Coach. Thank you for your platform. Thank you for letting people come in. And I urge everyone, Coach, you like you said, wait on your gift. It will make room for you. And if you try to push that and then you get out ahead of God, you're going to be hurt. You're going to get rejected. You're going to get hurt. And sometimes we do that, and it's our own fault. So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so here's the problem. Just a second. Here's the problem. Here's the problem we run into. Here's the problem I run into. Right now there's 114 people in the queue. There's more than that listening, but there's 114 in the queue. And you know we're not all at the same spot, right? Y'all know that, right? And so I have to be somewhat – see, this is the problem with organized church. When you go to church on Sunday morning, who is the pastor preaching to? Is he preaching a salvation message to me? What? Are most of the people in the church saved already and he's preaching a salvation message? What's that all about? Well, because we're different places. We're different places in here. You mentioned Craig Mickle. Craig Mickle has got so much stuff to share that is so far beyond what I even understand that I try to think, man, are they going to get it? What, are they going to understand what he's saying? Trump does that to me sometimes. So, oh my God, are people going to understand? Do we even understand? Do you really believe in alien technology? Nephilim tech, when nobody talks to you about it? Really? So it's a struggle, isn't it? So we have to work out our own salvation. We don't all have to be in agreement. We don't all have to agree on the same thing. I'm going to shock you. Larry ain't always right. He just thinks he is, right? I'm not always right. I just think I am, right? And so we have to get through all of this. That's part of how the body functions. Okay, Jack tried to squeeze his way in. Go ahead, Jack. Jump in the front of the line. Go ahead. Ditch. Go ahead and ditch that, Jack. Just kidding. Go ahead, Jack. No, go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah, thanks. Randy beat me to the punch. But, you know, he's right. This format, Coach, you have encouraged people to examine their gift and exercise their gift. Just as an example, look at what, and I'm going to leave somebody out, but I just want to point out the gifts that people have exercised. Look at what Chad has done with the Salt and Light Brigade in Texas. And now he's moving out. He's going to other places, Pennsylvania, Montana. Look at that gift, how it's being exercised.
Amen.
Reggie.
Amen.
And I'm sorry, Reggie, I don't want to put words in your mouth if you're listening, but Reggie had, the Lord's been working on Reggie with this Tiny Hearts Brigade for a long time. But look at it, all of a sudden it blossomed through Past the Salt. That's another example. You know, Randy's words of wisdom, okay? Unbelievable. Mark, you're so deep in the things you bring. There are just so many. Craig, you know, Larry with Liberty United, okay, blossomed under Past the Soil. Coach, you have put a team together with positions. People have positions, and they're exercising, and they're moving, and they're moving in their positions.
Yeah, amen. That's a coach's job, isn't it? To get the ball to somebody. Listen, I recognized a gift in Chad. I said, hey, Chad, how about doing this? And Chad just picked it up and ran with it. I didn't do anything. The gift was already there. He just needed somebody to throw him the ball, right? Folks, this is not
amen.
Difficult. This isn't difficult. We have to discern the body. Know who. And then some of you, I'm just going to say it because it's me, right? Some of you get jealous because you're not on the in crowd. Who has influence with coach? What do you mean who has influence with coach? First of all, you shouldn't worry about whether you have influence with me or not. Do you have influence with the Holy Spirit? Because if you have influence with the Holy Spirit might tap me on the chest.
Amen, coach.
Quit trying to get near the microphone. The gift will make way for me. Boy, I got a lot of people want to get in here. I'll try to get new ones in. Craig, go, and then Dale.
Well, coach, thank you for all your kind words, everybody. But so God put in my spirit, okay, my weakness was this. I could not discern hearing the Holy Spirit. That doesn't mean I never heard it. It means I didn't exercise it.
Yeah.
And what I realized is my strength, the Lord put it, he says, your strength is your weakness. In other words, I do have an ability about scriptures and putting things in order and that type of thing. And sometimes you get comfortable in that lane.
Yeah.
And really that's more of a fleshly lane because I'm not relying on God. So when he put that in there, he says, your strength is your weakness. I was like, well, gee, I would think my strength is my strength. And it's like, no, it's not. So just like, you know, when you were talking with Tony the other day, or just a few minutes ago, you said the Holy Spirit put in your, and I was like, a year or two ago, I was like, well, I mean, how do you know that's the Holy Spirit? I mean, how do you know that that's not just a thought? Mm. But what, because you have exercised your path with the Holy Spirit so many times, you're very familiar of that voice.
I am.
I was not. And so I could not understand the things in front of me in my life when the Holy Spirit wanted me to do something. Now I could take you through the Bible left and right and up and down. Okay.
Yeah.
But I was weak when I was presented in the situation on how to do it. And I have grown, and Randy Amen. And others have helped me with that.
And so, Craig, the Lord's going to make way for your gift. Do you understand that? The Lord's going to make way for it.
Well, he did, coach. When you let me do the, here comes the sun.
Yeah.
Okay. You don't know if you go back to that show at the very end of the show, what you said is about gifts. Okay, Coach, I put hundreds of hours into this presentation. I went to different churches. I dropped off things. I went to conferences. I did this, and nobody called me to come talk about Amen. My climate chaos.
I know the feeling, man. Amen. Craig, it's the same thing John Diamond's going through. Exact same thing. I can name others that are going through it, right? John Diamond's got this gift. Nobody wants to hear it. Do you want to hear John? Who's John Diamond? I don't want to hear John. I want to hear this guy. I'm a doctor, Reverend so-and-so, right? We all fight that, see?
But you know what the Lord said? Just tell John to keep going. You know what the Lord told me? He said, there's going to be a day, Craig, when they're going to be coming to you because all this errant weather that's going to be happening
right, brother.
Is going to throw them off, and they're going to say, hey, can you come talk with me? Can you come? So hang in there, John.
Yes, sir. Hey, Craig, I've been doing this almost 20 years, and only now are people starting to listen. Go on in, Dale. Then Holly.
What a great opportunity. I mean, Craig, coming off of what Craig was just talking about and these opportunities, and I want to go back and use the coaching analogy because you do use this quite often. First thing is understand this, that question to, you know, that why am I not buddy buddies up on coach? Let me tell you what, Jesus had that same problem with his own disciples. They were always jealous of which one was close to him. And hey, just follow him, right? And here's the deal. It's kind of like football, folks. Just keep and have yourself prepared because there's going to be a time when the coach needs to put you in the game. And that's when your time is, and that's your spotlight, and that's when you shine because you have prepared. And the last thing is, guess what? Just like when our kids, and just like at a football player, when a star wide receiver drops the ball, coach, do you bench him? No, you tell him, don't drop the next one.
Look the ball in.
When you are exercising your gifts, every person here, including myself, we will make mistakes along the way.
That's for sure.
You don't shut, because many coach, what do? They withdraw and they seclude themselves. No, you don't. You learn from it. Like, how do you say? I'm either up or I'm getting back up. A righteous man falls seven times, you get back up.
That's right.
Great coaching moment.
Up or getting up, buddy. Amen. Holly, then Stephanie, we'll try to come to you as well. Come on in, Holly.
Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
Thanks. You had mentioned something at the beginning of the show about spiritual gifts. Uh-huh. And it struck a chord in me because when I was 18, I went to a Baptist church and got saved to Jesus. And I told them of the dreams and visions I had all of my life and how they came true. And that church and congregants said I was devil, divination, and evil. Then fast forward to the year 2019, I was engaged with a group of Christians. And I began to describe to them the spiritual gifts that Heavenly Abba gives to me. And one of them, when I pray, when He wills it, He will take me to places or people and show me things and tell me things. And maybe it's the words I use that are raw, that people misunderstand them and misinterpret me. But this group of Christians came back and said, Holly, you're evil. You're astral traveling. You better repent to Jesus. So I turned around and I shut that off and I began to keep my prayers very short, sweet, to the point. So that way I didn't focus too hard. And then that way Abba could not take me to places and people where He wanted me to be, show me things. And it wasn't until your platform, Coach, where I met Jeffrey Nell, who has the same spiritual gift, and he was able to talk to me. And he said, Holly, what you were doing was not evil. It was of Jesus. It was good. This is an actual spiritual gift you have. Don't be ashamed of it. Repent. Amen. And start using it again.
Amen.
And no. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Real quick, I wanted to touch on what just happened up at Sky High. I have a sister in Christ who's my co-hostess on Fringe, and she allowed Yudhe Vavhe to use her as a vessel and work through her. And I fell into a terrible allergy attack up at Sky High, and my throat and esophagus started to close up. I have severe bronchial asthma and allergies all my life. And when I fell into this allergy attack, my throat started closing up. I had head to toe hives. I couldn't breathe. Everything before my eyes was going black. I had a terrible allergy attack, and my sister in Christ allowed herself to be used as a vessel, and the Holy Spirit worked through her. And I felt literally like the hand of Yudhe Vavhe reached into my lungs, sucked out all of that pain, opened up my chest so I could breathe. And it, in the end, avoided me being rushed to the emergency room. And that was a healing event through the blood of Jesus, through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Savior. And I'll tell you, Coach, if it wasn't for your platform to encourage me with these spiritual gifts, I would have turned them all off and I would have walked away from the Holy Spirit. And that.
Okay, so listen, I'm going to give you, listen to me, Holly, and everybody else. Listen to me. Quit desiring the approval of man. That's a snare, baby. That is a snare. And Holly, I love you enough to tell you this. Stop putting all your feelings on Facebook. Stop that. Certain things the Lord says to you is to remain with you. Part of this whole thing is knowing when to speak and when not to speak, and we cannot be controlled by our emotions. Love you, Holly. Come on in, Stephanie.
Morning, everybody. And Holly, keep going with your gift, girl. We got you going. We got you going. I just want to tell everybody, there is Jesus Christ is the most supernatural everywhere. I don't know why you Christians can't get it. You pray for miracles, and yet when you see things, you right away assume that it's evil. And I agree to discern. It's not somebody going up like I talk about Reiki. That's when you literally open yourself up to call in something else, because it's not you that does it. It's always something else, okay? A true healing with God, literally, you're just a conduit. Stephanie doesn't do anything. It's what comes through me, simply because you have to get your meat suit clear enough to hear the word, and then your spirit man does the word because you want to, because you love Jesus and you want to do what He wants you to do. Coach, like you said, digging holes, planting poles, stringing wire. You taught me how to do that. That's what you teach us how to do, but without power, you know, and it's going to come from one side or the other.
That's right. Digging holes, planting poles, and stringing the wire. Gary Dunlap, come on in, Gary, and then we'll jump, we'll get Randy. Go ahead.
There's one thing that gets stirred in the pot about the gifts, and I've seen this myself, having been a part of charismatic churches, is sometimes the charismatic churches don't always discern the spirits, and so when someone leaves such a church and they see some certain things manifesting, they get freaked out because not everything that goes on in the church is necessarily the Holy Spirit.
Amen, brother. Discerning spirits is important, right? Pray that you would discern the gifts, not chase the gifts, folks. Ooh, that was good. That was from the Lord. Pray that you'd be able to discern the gifts, not chase after them. Stop chasing after gifts and stop chasing after those who have the gifts. Stop that. Holy Spirit will make way from it. Go ahead, Randy, and then I want to get Denny in here. Go ahead.
Coach, what I want to say is the letter you wrote, that was a revelation, Coach. Okay, so here's what I want everyone to hear. Not everything that's said is a revelation to you at that moment. But if you'll take it, sometimes it is, okay? And when it is, jump on it, and I mean ponder it and study it and get the fruit out of that. I mean, doesn't matter who says it. It's what they said. It's the words. But, Coach, a lot of times we don't get that revelation in the moment, but it we've got to think about it. So you just put it on the shelf and wait on it. And then all of a sudden one day it'll hit you. And this is how we got to use this, Chuck. We got to let each other judge what we're saying. Coach, I hear things and I sometimes go, I don't know if that's so. Well, just think about it. Let it just wait on it. And then when you say, oh, I see it. Well, then you get to confirm with someone else what they just saw. I throw stuff out there all the time, Coach, with a lot of people in this queue. And I go, what do you think about it? Because I need it to be confirmed as truth. So if you don't have a platform or relationship with each other to do that, then you're on your own and you don't know if you're right or wrong sometimes.
That's so right.
We need each other to judge what we're saying and to judge our gifts and not put us down and condemn, but to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Coach, we need each other for that.
Your gift is irrevocable. He's not taken aback. And you don't
need Coach, we a lot of us need to know when we need to learn from other people, from each other, to know, okay, it's time to bring forth your gift. It's time to be quiet. It's, you know, and if you don't get in and have relationship, I can talk to Mark Trump straight out because we have relationship.
That's it.
I can say what I want. And Mark can say, well, Randy, I don't know, man. Let me think about that. But if you don't have relationship, you don't have a place for that.
Amen. Trust. Come on in, Denny. Got to get him in there. Thanks, Randy. Kevin, real quick.
With all these gifts stuff, I agree. But when I was in the hospital last week, the doctor came in on Wednesday and said, well, you'll be here till at least another week. And I said, no. I said, I'm going on Friday. And he laughed at me. He said, okay, whatever. And I said, and I just looked at him and the nurse and all that. I said, do you guys realize that you can't heal me? You have no power to heal me. Jesus said, physician, heal yourself. I said, only Jesus can heal me. You can treat me. You can give me shots. And I appreciate it. But I said, only Jesus heals me. And they all looked at me so quiet.
Amen.
Because they're used to being elevated up to God.
That's right. That's right.
You're not my God.
Yeah, we trust the Lord till we get sick, then we got to go trust the doctors.
Exactly. I went on Friday, by the way, and he came in and shook my hand. He says, you was right, I was wrong.
You sound good, Denny. You sound good. Come on in, Kevin, real quick.
Well, I just wanted to say that one of the big differences that I see with this ministry versus most churches is that you allow your team members a seat at the table. And in the middle of that table is a microphone, and you'll use the microphone, and then you allow that microphone to get passed around. And the more people talk, the more you're able to discern their gifts and see what these people bring to the table. And a lot of churches really remind me of, picture, if you will, a football team where the coach makes the entire team sit on the bench the whole game, and the only one out there playing the game is the coach.
Right. That's what's happening.
Yeah, so that's my two cents.
Bless you, Kevin. Hey, folks, listen.
Amen.
Going to wrap this up. Sherry Tenpenny tomorrow. By the way, we have posted at our website one of the simplest. Spencer, can you go there real quick? That video I posted yesterday, my wife looked at that and said, oh, my goodness, that is. If anybody takes a vaccination after watching this video, there's something wrong with them. And it says, share with loved ones. If they get jabbed after watching this, they are beyond saving. It's only about 24 minutes. It's really, really good. Share with other people. Dr. Tenpenny will be in with us tomorrow to take your questions. This the reality of what's going on. My goodness, there's a battle for truth going on out there like we can't even imagine. Wish we had more time. We don't have more time. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.